Hey, welcome back to Strong Tower Radio today. I'm George Corliss.
I'm Jelaine Fenner.
And I'm Teresa Williams.
Amen. And we're talking today with Teresa. She is from the Wexford Conservation District. And the program's called Good Growing with a Garden Gal. And this segment, we're going to talk about optimizing fruit tree health. And preventing disease is the key. Teresa, you want to take that and kind of run with it a little bit?
Yeah, especially for a backyard grower. If your fruit tree gets a disease, a bacterial disease or a fungal disease.
Okay, hold it. How do you know they have a bacterial or a fungal disease?
Okay. Yeah. You can tell a lot by the foliage, what the foliage looks like. You know, does it look healthy and green?
Is that when they get all those little black spots on
them?
Yeah,
that's a disease.
Okay,
yeah.
That's not a good thing.
That's not a good thing.
Okay.
And the trunk of the tree, a lot of our stone fruits, like the peaches, cherries, plums, are susceptible to cankers and other things that infest the bark.
So what's that look like?
It's oozing.
The bark's oozing.
Yeah, it'll ooze out. And, you know, you look at it and you go, that's not healthy. And you can tell.
Okay.
No training or not. You know, it just does not look right.
Teresa, if I go to, like, one of the big box stores or to a greenhouse or whatever, and I'm looking at trees, is it possible that some of the trees are going to be affected by some of the things we're talking about right now before I even buy them?
It's possible, but most of the nurseries try really hard.
They're pretty good at that?
They try really hard, yeah.
Okay.
It's certainly possible, though.
Okay. And so I rudely interrupted you about that. So why don't you go ahead and expand on that a little bit?
About keeping your fruit trees healthy?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's a lot easier to prevent a disease than to cure it on a fruit tree. You could probably say the same thing about humans. But what we want to do is you want to optimize the health of your tree. And you think about, what does that tree need? You need to, first of all, give it healthy soil. And healthy soil for a fruit tree is a soil that drains well. It's got air in it. That's
I remember
right.
that from the first program we did.
Most of our fruit trees don't do very well in heavy soils. The sandier soils are actually better for
fruit
trees.
So clay is out for the most part.
Yeah.
Clay you have to do some work on. It's mounded up or do something because the trees do not do well in a clay.
And is it just because they can't get their root systems out, or is it because of the wetness that's always there?
The wetness is the issue. So if you make sure you have good drainage where you're going to put fruit trees. I have a friend who put fruit trees in her backyard, and she put in a system of tile drains. Amazing. She had heavy clay. And she put in a system of tile draining, and she's got great fruit trees because she
grapefruit?
Great.
Okay.
Wonderful fruit trees.
Grapefruit trees?
No, she doesn't have grapefruit. But because she took the time to get that soil drainage under control, she has healthy fruit trees.
Okay.
So you need to do something with that. And if you're on a sandy soil, you might have good drainage, but you might be in a position where your soil is just sand. It doesn't have that nice, healthy organic matter in it that can hold nutrients and hold an appropriate amount of moisture. So if you have sandy soil, you might want to put a little bit of organic matter like a good compost in it. You want to make sure you have a good nutrient balance in your soil. And the best way to do that is to get a soil test. And for your listeners in Michigan, Michigan State University Extension has this wonderful home and garden soil test packet where you can take a soil sample, they'll give you the instructions, send it off to the lab, tell them you're growing fruit trees, and they'll come back with the right recommendations for your soil, for your site.
So they need to go to the Soil Conservation District to get something first, or they can bring their soil?
They can go, the MSU, Michigan State University Extension offices have those soil test mailers.
Okay.
Or they can do it online. If they put Michigan State University soil test mailer in a search engine, it'll come up.
Okay.
Now, is this the time of year, regardless of, we're talking fruit trees here today, but is this the time of the year that we need to get our soil tested here regardless?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Great time of year.
Well, let's walk through that a little bit. So
sure.
you get a packet or packets. How do you go about doing this?
Well, what you do is out in the area where you're going to be growing things, you could take a trowel, you could take a shovel, and you want to go to several parts in your growing area, just randomly, go all around, and take a sample of your soil that capture soil not only from the very surface, but down to about 6 to 8 inches, that whole profile we call it. Take a bunch of samples, maybe 20, all around your growing area. Mix them together in a clean bucket, and then take 1 to 2 cups of that and lay it out on something like a paper plate to air dry. And once that soil is air dry, if you buy one of those soil test mailer kits, there's a like a pouchy envelope, and you stick the soil into that envelope and send it off in the mail. There are also a lot of farm feed stores that will take that same soil sample, package it up, and mail it off for you, usually to a private lab rather than MSU. But there's a couple different places you can go to get those soil tests done.
So now I'm hearing you're digging up, how, like you said, down to 6 inches or
six
something.
6 to 8 inches, yeah.
Okay. So I'm just thinking, even if I took a trowel, that's quite a bit of dirt, but you're saying mix
it all together.
Mix it all together, and then takes
1 to 2 cups of that mixture.
So it's only
out.
1 to 2 cups of dirt,
right.
Actually.
Soil.
Go.
Thank you.
You can tell I'm not a very good farmer, gardener.
Dirt's what you get under your fingernails. Yeah. Soil is what grows food.
Okay. But that's so you've got 1 or 2 cups of all that stuff you had, and mixed up, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. And then it air dry it on a paper plate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, when we're talking about fruit tree health, what are some of the other things that we're looking to do before we maybe even start planting some new fruit trees? Does it matter what type of variety of trees that we buy?
Well, for a home gardener, your life is going to be much easier if you start out by selecting a fruit tree that's resistant to diseases. For example, the Freedom variety of apple is scab resistant. Scab is a fungal disease. If you buy a fruit tree that's scab resistant, you're never going to have to spray to control that fungal disease. It's already in the genetic makeup of that tree. So it's just a lot easier if you have the option to start out with a fruit tree that's naturally resistant. In apples, to scab, that's a big one. In pears, a disease we're particularly concerned about is fire blight. And there's varieties such as Blake's Pride and Kiefer that are resistant to fire blight. In peaches, some of the more resistant varieties are Madison, Harrow Beauty, Early Red Haven. And, that might limit you a bit on what fruit tree varieties you select if you go only for disease-resistant ones. But that might be a good place to start. If you're brand new to fruit tree growing, try out one of these disease-resistant varieties first.
Yeah, I can imagine you buying this and planting it, and then it gets sick and dies. When it gets one of these diseases, that's why it'd be good to get the resistant.
Yeah, and to help you produce quality fruit, too. A little tiny bit of scab on an apple is no big deal. You can peel it. But if it's a bad year for scab, in other words, a very moist, warm spring, it can ruin the fruit to the point where you don't get usable fruit.
Folks, if you just tuned in, I'm George Corliss, and I've got Jelaine Fenner here next to me, and we're at the studios on 45 Road here in Cadillac. And you're listening to Strong Tower Radio today. And we've got the garden gal with us, Teresa Williams from the Wexford Conservation District. I'm glad I said it once correctly today. And we're talking about, in this segment, optimizing fruit tree health. Now, Teresa, how far, if I'm going to maybe begin my orchard, how many trees should I, possibly start with as a, just a young buck here in the woods, and how far apart should I plant them from each other? Because I notice in your notes here, it says there needs to be good circulation around the trees.
It depends on how big you want those trees to get in terms of how far apart to put them. If you want to keep them super small, 5 feet or less, you could go as close as, say, 6 to 8 feet. If you want to get it, a standard size tree will get up to 30 feet tall, and those they generally put 30 feet apart. So roughly, as tall as you think that tree is going to be, put it that far apart from its neighbor. That's a good rule of thumb.
Boy, one of the first things I did, and it wasn't with fruit trees, it was with blue spruce and white spruce. I had some folk actually give us some, and they were a little bit bigger than seedlings. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, imagining in my mind, and of course I've got my little string out, so I'm getting a nice, straight row, and I'm thinking, and I'm kind of filling, I've got a row, and then I'm staggering the rows so the wind, you know, can, and some, and this thing's just looking beautiful. But about 5 or 6 years later, it's like I needed to start cutting them for Christmas trees because they grew so fast. Hey. And I didn't plan correctly because, you know, you trim back a little bit. But, I mean, you want them to be beautiful trees that give you some, you know, wind protection, and you can have birds and, you know, other things like that.
Planted them too close together.
Oh, what a dingbat. I mean, I thought it was just perfect. It looked perfect for the first 5 years.
When they're, little.
And you really need to plan, don't you, when you do these?
Think not just about what size are they now, but what size do you want them to ultimately be?
So, all right. Now, when we're talking about these different resistant varieties, the ones that you mentioned, like in apples, the Freedom, the Liberty, the Gold Rush, the, is it Jonifree, mm-hmm. and the Pristine. How many other varieties are there than those? Just a gazillion?
A lot.
Is there?
Yeah. I just gave example of some of the common ones.
Okay. And so, like, when I go to a big box store or to a greenhouse, what am I going to find there for the most part?
You know, I don't buy my fruit trees from a big box store, so I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have a emergency news segment right now. Why don't you go there?
Because I wanted to buy a bare root fruit tree that's dormant when I plant a fruit tree. I don't want one that's already growing. I want one that is not yet growing because it's going to undergrow less stress, less shock if I plant it when it's dormant rather than wait till it's a tree that has its leaves on it.
And they have those types of trees in their places of business because?
Because they want to sell them to customers, I think.
Okay.
So the trees that are at the big box stores already have the leaves on them, is what you're saying.
Usually they're not dormant. They're already past, you know, they've broken dormancy. They're already growing.
It's because they were grown in warmer climates, or they were in warehouses, or
they could have been grown in a number of places. It's just they're grown in pots, because if you have a bare root dormant tree, you can only sell that tree in the early spring, you know, before dormancy breaks, and you have to keep that tree refrigerated. So it's much more challenging to handle a dormant tree from a shopkeeper's perspective. You've got to keep it cool. You've got to keep it dormant. It's a lot easier to have a tree in a pot that you could keep on your sales floor for a month or so and keep it watered.
Okay, so let's say it's time to plant. I've got my trees. I've got my ground. I've measured everything out. I've got nice irrigation if it's a real clay-like soil. Okay.
You mean nice drainage?
Drainage.
Not clay-like. Clay-like, not like clay-like.
Sorry about that. Okay, how do I prepare the hole to put the tree in?
You know, if you buy a $25 tree, I like to recommend that you put in a $50 hole. And that means that you spend a lot of time digging a wide hole. Wide is more important than deep. And thinking about most fruit tree root systems that I've seen, about a foot deep is good and about 3 feet wide, maybe 4 feet wide.
Is it because the root structure just expands that quickly?
You want to create a nice environment for those roots where they can spread out and grow freely. If you put a tree in a hole that has like really tight soil close to it, the tree's roots might end up going in a circle just through the soil that you had dug up, and they might not penetrate, especially if you've got clay. It might be very difficult for them to penetrate that hard soil that you hadn't worked up at all. So we like to say wide holes, 3 to 4 feet wide and about a foot deep.
Okay. And then what about keeping the tree in place once it's planted?
They don't usually walk, George, so I'm not quite sure what you mean.
So they don't tip over.
Okay. Did you guys in the audience hear the rim shot out there? That was
that was a good one. You set yourself up for that.
I did. I guess okay. I really did.
So that's a good question, because I know I've had something in the wind kind of.
Okay, so how to keep it from leaning in the wind?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When your plant.
Wait a minute. Leaning. Yeah, okay, never mind. We're done.
When you plant that tree, when you're putting, this is a key thing, and I'm glad you asked that question, because when
it
you
didn't
put,
sound like you were glad you answered.
When you put the soil in, put it in layers and firm those layers. Like if you've dug a hole and it's 12 inches deep, you put your tree in spread the roots out, put about a 4-inch layer of soil in, and press that down with your fingertips. Don't step on it. You could break the roots, but take your fingertips, get down in there, get in that soil. And when I teach children how to do this, I have them make spider hands with me so that their fingertips are like the legs of a spider. And you take those fingertips and you just push those fingertips down in the soil all around the roots, and then put some water in. And repeat that twice. And what you do with that is you have the soil firmly around the tree all the way through that root system, and that's going to help it from leaning. I've never staked a fruit tree. I've never had to planting it that way. But if you get a larger tree with a small root system, you might need to. And if you do that, I recommend putting in a couple stakes, and then rather than tying the tree firmly to the stakes, tie like a figure eight loop around the tree and the stake, both stakes, that has some sway in it. And if the tree has some sway, it will develop anchor roots in response to being blown about a bit by the wind.
Now, you don't want to prepare the root system before you put it in by cutting off or chopping off some of those roots?
If you have roots that look damaged or broken, yes, clip those off with a nice pair of pruning shears. But if you've got, like, say, a straggly root that's 5 feet long and you can't spread it out straight in the hole, you can shorten that.
Okay.
But only prune roots as needed, because in a nursery situation, a lot of those trees don't develop a lot of roots to begin with, so they're coming a little bit shy of their on roots when you get them.
Okay. Well, that's it for our second segment here today, folks. And you want to stay tuned, because we're going to be talking about our crop of the month, which is raspberries and blackberries next. So stay tuned. We'll be right back for Strong Tower Radio today.